Okie dokie. Yes. There are many things I would like to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But maybe you can. So, culture of honor, everybody's powerful to think. I'm not more powerful than you because I got a microphone. You're powerful. We're powerful. And we're all powerful to make mistakes. Because mistakes are intrinsically programmed into play. Yes, so play is meant to have mistakes in it. And in fact, when you study Hebrew, you'll discover that that's the way it's designed, all of it's designed. It's called Tikkun Olam, which means to repair creation. The creation's designed to be repaired or brought back to restoration. It's designed like that. So when they draw the bait, did you notice when I drew the house, it had one side missing? That's because the Jews teach that it's our job to create that side. And in fact, that supports Genesis where it says, spread Eden, spread dominion. So we've always been made to repair creation or restore all things, which is a manifestation of play. Restoring all things is just returning into play and the dance and the song. That's why we're very musical as a religion. You know, we've got this ecstasy, the song and dance. I really want to see the return of dance. I just feel for me, that's one of the signs. I've preached it all over the world. I'm looking for this sign. I know that the dance ecstasy's come in. Before I get started, I'll just share one story on that. I was in Sydney, and there was this really shy teenage girl there. Her mum had brought her, she'd heard I was doing a meeting, they travelled 3 hours just on the spot because she wanted her daughter to get impacted by God. And this church I was in is very creative, so this is honestly the situation, is they had a classic pianist who was playing classical piano. They had the pastor playing the guitar, but he was playing it like that. He wasn't playing it like that. And next to them was a guy on a drum, which looked like a UFO with all these bubbles on it. And it was like amazing sound. I don't know if you've seen those. They're kind of wah, 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 kind of, oh, amazing. They were creating this classical piano sound with him playing his guitar, like, and this wah, wah, wah. And I've got to be honest, I thought I was in heaven. It was so breaking all the rules of what worship should be like. And yet the frequency of it was just shredding me. I thought, this is the best church I've ever been to. This is amazing. And the pastor was even singing. His song wasn't even that good. He was going, I don't even have to play in tune. He's going, ah. And the guy's going, wah, wah, wah. And there's this classical pianist. And it all sounded like it belonged together. It didn't sound like it was grating or clashing. Anyway, this shy girl was there. And I just grabbed her. And I brought her out the front. And I started saying, let's do this. Like Nancy does. I'm a good boy, Nancy. I learn. So we started doing the cadence together. And this shy girl just was trusting me. And this is it. She got caught into a dance trance. And I just sat down and for half an hour watched her going, wow. And she'd forgotten she was in a church. She'd forgotten she was in a meeting. She'd forgotten she's a shy teenager. And she was caught up in it. And I watched her. And they're playing this crazy song, and I'm sitting there going, this is David's tent. This is the future when thousands will be resonated, and the arenas will be filled, and the dance floor, pow, 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 dance trances, children in dance trances, their feet lifting off the ground in the glory. One time I was in a meeting, I don't think I've ever publicly shared this, but I was so caught up in the spirit, I had so much energy, I began to jump. And like the Maoris or whatever they're called, I was getting higher and higher. I can't remember what that tribe's called. Maasai. I mean, I started to tap into what the Maasai were doing. And honestly, I did super jumps. I couldn't even try. The next day I tried it. It hurt really badly. My knees, they were like, ah. But I was jumping, and I started jumping higher and higher. And then I would actually stay in the air for like a microsecond. and everyone else was just doing stuff and getting whacked. So, but my friend that was there spotted what I was doing, and I didn't say anything to her. She said, "I saw you," she said. "I saw you jumping higher and higher, and then you started floating off the ground." So I think there's a realm where we're walking on air. Because, you know, you know, Nikola Tesla said, to understand the universe, one must think in terms of frequency, energy, and vibration. And there is an energy on dance, you know, like that warfare. It's like, I know the second Matrix film wasn't that good, but they do a warfare dance in the cave. They're about to be attacked, but instead of getting worried, they do a warfare dance, tribal dance. And there's got to be a sound and an energy and a vibration that starts to come from us. And I love these guys from Germany, Eric and Dagmar. They are doing like a conference called Eins, which means one. And we've done it for 2 years, and hopefully, Nancy, you'll get there sometime. But it's all about sound and energy and frequency and the dynamic. Eric preached on dynamic. I didn't know what it was, so I had to ask him after he finished preaching, because he used the word dynamic. But there's a dynamic that we've got to get back. And we've got to fight for that. We've got to fight for the dance trance. We've got to fight for the ecstasies. We've got to fight for those who are possessed by God. Well, okay, fine. Well, maybe we don't. Maybe I don't. Just okay. All right. Let me put it like this. If you don't want it, I'll have it. Just give it to me now. Hand it to me. Give me your whack. Just to him who has, more will be given. But if you don't use it, it'll be taken away. Temporarily. All right, so I'm looking for the dance trance, and I've got this friend, Jim Drown. He's led like millions of people in South Africa to the Lord, and he's showing me a video of all these children caught up in ecstasy. I mean, literally, groups of children caught up for hours in dance trance, not even looking, sweating, crying, in ecstasy. And I'm looking for British children to be caught up in the dance trance. I'm looking for the streets of England to remember the wild lion sound. I'm looking for something to happen that recalibrates the nation back to the frequency of life. And I'm looking for it to happen in me and in you. Not external, but in me, giving myself to the dance, giving myself to wisdom's play. Till I have seven horns and seven eyes, you become what you behold. It'd be pretty cool, right? Seven eyes means illumination of perfection. It means seven-dimensional sight. The horns mean strength. It means the power to do in all dimensions. I want to look like Jesus. I think that's what happened to Moses. I don't think it was the glowing that was the disturbance. It says he had horns of light. Some paintings on Google say put in there Moses with horns of light, and you'll see they used to paint Moses with horns. And I think what happened was he engaged God so much that crown of sonship, the golden crown of light, was sitting on his head as living horns of energy, the sevenfold spirit of God. And that's what we're to look like as sons. The fullness, the fatness of all that he is, the sevenfold spirit, is a massive, massive truth for this time. Wisdom is a huge truth for now. See, you can't begin to repair creation without wisdom. Because wisdom knows what the design is. Whether it's Jesus as wisdom, or the Spirit as wisdom, or a being called wisdom, everything comes from him, however he wants to do it. The root word, Sophia, for wisdom means clarity. She is the spirit of clarity. And there has to be a generation that know what the blueprint of clarity is. Not their agenda, but they're building from the blueprint of heaven. See, if we go out there into all creation and try and make it look like this, that's wrong. We're not trying to make earth in heaven. God will let you do that. Many people go into heaven and it's like earth. That's okay. But that's a reflection of your consciousness in terms of engaging those dimensions. It's called the malleable heaven. There are dimensions that look nothing like earth. Be because you will create the realm that you most fully identify with. Which is why you can't even create what Earth is like in the cosmos. You've got to create the blueprint of Earth. Every, you know, as I said, lift up your eyes to the heavens, then look upon the earth beneath. Every one of you should, in one of your prayer times, this is a bit of homework, sit in his presence, say, Jesus, can we go up above the earth? Go up above the earth, expand out of the earth until you can hold it. Because you can only govern what you can hold. It says he holds the nations in the palms of his hands, the cosmos in the palm of his hands. He holds you in the palm of his hand. You can govern what you can hold, because a hand in Hebrew is yod, which is the number 10. And you'll always see 10 to do with governmental structures. Even the angelic canopy is 10. 10 commandments. Even here, 10 Downing Street, you needed 10 elders. Daniel had 10 times more. Abraham said of the 10 people in the city. It wasn't about 10. It's about who operates under the hand. Lot wasn't operating under the hand. Isaiah said, I will cover you with the palm of my hand and put my word in your mouth that I may plant the heavens on the foundation of the earth. So he covers you with the yod, the number 10, which is the shadow of his hand coming over you, the governmental structures, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the seven spirits making a house of 10, 10 being two hands, an overshadowing, a covering, sitting on you, so that you can plant the heavens into the foundations of the earth, or you can land the blueprints from heaven, from Zion, into creation. So what am I saying is that as we become the restorers of all things, we're doing it according to the Father's will, which means we become administrators of the blueprint. Is this boring or... So his name begins with Yod. It means to come under the shadow of his hand. So Yod, you're coming under the 10, which is the house of his government. The government of his name is throughout creation, the concept, because it's male and female binary. It's coming under the two hands, the joining, the womb of the morning. It's producing the government of heaven into creation. So we are those that come under the Yod. I will cover you with the shadow of my hand and put my word in your mouth. And what he does there is he takes the yod and puts the other part of it inside you, and you become the carrier of the yod, which is the divine limitless nature of God. Within it, the yod contains all possibilities that exist. Yeah, it's the power to create the yod. The yod is the yod is inside of you as a burning flame. It is the power to create. It's the malleable, infinite expanse where in the little there is much. In other words, your door becomes the river and the gateway for the government of God into creation. And that's what it means to be the church. I will build my ecclesia, and the powers of death. Gates of hell meant the powers of death. Okay, think like a Hebrew. Gates is where the power is. Hades, or hell as we call it, meant the place of death. So Jesus said, I will build a community that will prevail over every expression of death. So you're the ecclesia, and it means called out to govern, which means you're called out into the celestial, into the one, into the above, into the below, into the past, into the present, into the future, into the was, into the age to come. And you are called out to govern through the yod, which is union with the divine nature, where it comes in you to create realities. And that's God's definition of church. And I believe where we're transitioning into is, I'm going to say something that you can test for yourself and decide whether this is true, because I'm taking a risk by telling you this next bit. Is that one time the Lord showed me a mystery. I wonder what you'll think of this, Mike, because I'm open to correction on it. I'm throwing it out. Okay. is that the Lord showed me once when I was praying what happened with Moses. Why did Moses not enter the promised land? And what he showed me was this, that Moses struck the rock or used the staff to govern creation. So he was using something outside of himself to create signs and wonders. So he was using the gift, if you like. Okay, because it was outside of himself. But when God said, speak, he wanted to manifest the yod and give him the power to reconfigure the molecular structure so that he could create Eden through his words and create Israel through his words. But he knew that if he operated in the power of speech like Adam used to, that they would worship him. And he was afraid of what it would mean for him because he would have the power to govern life. So rather than speak and transition into his promised land, he retreated from the promised land through unbelief, crashed back through the dimensions to the familiar, and used the staff to strike the rock. And God said, you just left all that I promised. And you lowered Israel's destiny to a physical dimension of creating physical buildings with the work of their hands. Because you used your hand instead of my hand, the yod, coming through your mouth to create through the word. So I learned that from the Lord. No one ever taught me that. I was shown it, and I'm letting you test it. But this is what I saw, was God's going to restore that. And this has massive, 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 massive implications on all of us. This is you literally coming under the vibrating yod of the hand, and his divine essence is in you and vibrates out of your words to create realities. And that is how we're going to change the cosmos. Because you will become the mobile throne of God, the Merkabah with the wheels and the eyes and the angels moving around you, which is the description of your celestial body. It's what you look like. It says, one like the Son of Man. You become a celestial throne with a throne with sapphire stones, frequency, energy, vibration, eyes, circles, bringing back things to the dance. It's circular and it's a dance. It's the dancing throne with wings and eyes and glory and fire and a sky above touching the earth below, which represents the human heart being open in all dimensions, functioning through space and time. Or to put it another way, as he is, so are you. And that is someone coming into the government of his hand. So what I'm saying is the reason Nancy functions like she does is because she's under the government of his hand. And there cannot be a manifestation of recreation besides being under the hand of God, which is the vibration of his name. Or to put it another way, that you're living in the name. Yod, hey, vav, hey. And you live in the name, you move in the name, and you have a celestial cosmic platform with energetic structures called cherubim. And the cherubic nature of your DNA pops open as gates and doors, as Jacob's ladder, for angels to be flashing out of you like living lightnings to fulfill God's purpose into dimensional frameworks and set up thrones and scepters of government in creation as Jacob's ladder is open between you and the Lord, as the hand is on you, and out of you becomes this structure, this Merkabah, the wheels and the eyes and the throne. It's all rotating in a dance, in a cosmic ecstasy, producing life. And that's what you'll look like in the stars. And the power of the word, and I was taken up, and I was praying for someone who'd crashed a car, and I wanted to just change the time a little bit to repair the car. I thought I'll just shift it by 5 minutes to redo the car bodywork. So I was in the courts asking for God to do this, looking for how you do it. How do you bend it and bend creation and repair it? How can you put your hand, how can you repair a car and make it like it was the first day it was made without taking it to a garage? How do you make all things new? And suddenly I was taken up out of the courtrooms, because often I'll be taken up and have an ecstasy in heaven, a rapture in a rapture. And it happens to me often. I'll be in the courts or somewhere like that. I'll do some legislation, then the Lord will pull me up into another layer. Okay, fine. This is amazing. I think this is good stuff. But, and I was shown that the key to accessing the next place in the evolution of our species, I saw a realm where inside you could create. And that's when I saw Moses and what he was offered. But it wasn't lit. And I knew that we had to go into there and illuminate it. But there was a gatekeeper to this realm, and it was the spirit of wisdom. I stand at the ancient paths. And I call to you to come and return to the ancient paths. And I saw that there is a realm of walking with wisdom opening up in this generation, which has been reserved for this hour, where we are not just going to be us. We are going to be under the shadow of his hand, walking in the spirit of wisdom in the ancient past, becoming the cherubic nature of YHWH, manifesting his divine name with the power to create and bend realities and move through space and time. Yo! And man, this stuff puts the fear of God in you. I'm not just talking, I had a nice vision. I felt it. It says you will fear the Lord and tremble at his goodness in the last days. It made me tremble, and I was like, wisdom, I need you. I've gone as far as I can, but I come under the shadow of your hand to step into where I belong, where I come from, in the name YHWH, to create with you a new cosmos, a new reality. And I saw that one of the greatest priorities right now, as we start to have our consciousness expanded and the cosmos opens and dimensions opens and angels and celestial beings start to engage us and the cloud of witnesses, is that we need to walk with wisdom on the ancient paths. We need to engage where she is and become so entangled into her that we play correctly and we know our place in the dance. And we know the song and the part that we release as we perichoresis in the YHWH, as we perichoresis and we appear and disappear, and we appear in Andromeda, and we appear and disappear. Who are these that appear like dawn light? Ooh, eyes, wings, wheels, war, sapphire stones, lightnings, as angels are released from being inside me. I want that. I'm getting wrecked. It's okay. We gotta finish what he started. We can't stop now. We gotta finish what he started. We can't stop now. We gotta sing about it, shout about it, do something about it, finish what he started. Yod, the power of his hand, yod. I will cover you with the power of my hand. Ooh, I'll put my word in your mouth. Ooh, that I may plant the heavens on the foundations of the earth. Yod. We are the company of the hand, under the hand, the burning hand, the ten. Shoo! 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 opening up the canopy, opening up the angelic structures, open up the cherubic nature of our body, soul, and spirit, opening up the gates and doors. Lift up your head, O you gates, headship, government, be joined to the hand, the government of his hand. Be joined up into him, into Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, in oneness, in union, in absorption. The order of Melchizedek is that he has prepared for us a body. The order of Melchizedek is a body I have prepared for you. Is this okay? Yeah, it's good. It's good. I like this guy. He's great. He's great. Yay. I'm a good boy these days. I used to be quite rude to people. It's horrible. Giving up being rude. Just want to be nice. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. What Moses, that what died with Moses was recovered. That's why his body was recovered. Because his body, it says Satan fought over his body. Why was Moses' body fought over? Because it represented a body. A body that would be the living structure of light and energy and the living lightnings and the eyes and the wings and the faces and the dimensions and the throne and the emeralds and the sapphires and the burning fire. And it represented our future. And Satan contended over the body that it looked dead, but Jesus took that body and raised up that body to bring us back to where we were supposed to be, the order of Melchizedek. And there's something happening in us that is not like a normal time in human history. There's something going on right now that will not be another 100 years of what we've known. It will not be another revival as we've known. It will not be continuation of the timeline as we've known it. There is something happening called transfiguration. The transfiguration of the body of Christ into its structure, into Melchizedek, into the divine order, moving as one with angels. The debate over the angelic is long gone. Becoming the living oracles of light into creation beyond earth through space and time. Yay. You guys all right? This is good stuff. This is meat. This is me. Just think about the timeline. This is why Moses died, because the whole timeline had to recalibrate when Moses didn't take his place in the realm of Melchizedek in that order. When he could have created Israel. Yeah. Speak. That was the new anointing that was put on him. Speak and it will happen. Life, and you speak rivers in the desert, and you speak bloom and crops bloom, and you speak into the people's bodies, and you speak into animals, and you say, animal, we'll get your voice back. Animal, let your tongue be loosed again. And it goes back to the blueprint, and it would have been so different. Oh, thank you, Father. Way. But I see it, I feel it, it's burning in me. It haunts my dreams, cosmic dreams, distant shores, distant. Calling for me on the celestial winds, in the stars and in the galaxies, echoing for the suns, saying you belong here. Whew. Yeah. So when I started pressing in for the Lord, I said to Rachel, you know, I want to spend more time in prayer. And we said, let's take Friday off work. You can take Friday off work. So I went to my boss and said, I was working as a manager at the time and in a financial industry. And I said, can I take Fridays off work? And he said, yeah, if you know, we honor you. If you keep delivering results, we'll pay you the same. Just take the time. And the first day where I was praying at lunchtime, God's presence came on me so strong, and I passed out, and I woke up, and there was a noise, a physical noise in the room, like the grinding of wheels, like sparks, like pipes being banged, like the screeching of car brakes, and the roar of his waterfalls, and the crash of his breakers. And I woke up terrified because I just passed out, and there's this bang, 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 whoosh, whoosh. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you're going to find me. And he said this, I am raising a generation in this hour that will be unstoppable. 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 This is unstoppable. This is unstoppable. Yo! The tide is turning. It's turned. There's only one way it's going to go. Ah, thank you, Father. Yay! So we honor wisdom today. Oh, wisdom, dear wisdom, dance with me, entangle into me, teach me about that place that's hidden in God, in the divine darkness, in the divine luminescence, waiting in the essence, calling me back to the ancient paths where I come from, in the pathways of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh's heart, in the chambers of his love, from the breast of God I have come. Take me back to where I belong. Take me back to where I've come from. Teach me from above, in the place of love, in the place of light. Let there be life. For with you are the words of life. Shah! And I choose the flame to go beyond my DNA and to come out from under the covering of my father and mother and forsake my nation, for I am not born from Britain. I'm born from above. And I have been given a new name in you, a new function in you, a new dispensation in you, a new genetics in you. Ah. And in you I live, in you I move, in you I have my being. Yeah. Nations born in a day. Nations born in a day. You know, the Lord showed me a mystery, and I'll let you judge whether you think this is right or not. But one day, the Lord just showed me that the whole earth will change in a day. And I knew that when it happened, I felt the fear of God, and I knew that something is going to happen that's so profound, it's going to recalibrate everybody on the earth to a new way of thinking in a moment of time. Because they, and I saw in this expanded state, I saw everybody's going, it's changed. Everybody knew that it was like this when I went to sleep, but today I can never go back from what we've just found. And I was thinking about that, thinking, God, what could possibly happen in a moment of time that we could change the earth like that? So I kept it to myself and said, Lord, you gotta confirm this. This is crazy stuff. And then that day on Facebook, Bobby Connor posted, he said, the Lord told me today the whole world's gonna change in a day. Because there is more than earth. There is more than earth. And you have a scroll that goes beyond earth. You have a scroll, a destiny book that goes beyond this solar system. You will go beyond this solar system. This is called the cradle. But a baby doesn't stay in a cradle. When I was overshadowing the earth once, I saw the scroll of Mother Earth, and I felt the frequency, the feminine energy of the earth. It's a very feminine planet. And I saw the scroll and the life energy on the earth, and I saw that it was the cradle of our consciousness from which a new species, a kainos creation, is being born. This is too much for some of you, isn't it? Some of you are like going... That's why this earth will pass away. Or be changed, if you like. because once you're an adult, you don't need a cradle. And the way this earth will function will be so energetically different because it's the gates of heaven. So it's always meant to be a transdimensional place where you could look into heaven through it. And Jesus came to restore what was lost, and that includes Earth's scroll as being the gateway into the higher dimensions and planes of existence within the cosmos. So Earth has got a destiny, and for God so loved the world. And the first thing that happened when he died on the cross was the earth shook, because the blood spoke. I remember you. And the earth went, I remember you. And everything shook. And the graves were opened. And a global earthquake happened. Because earth received the beginnings of the restoration of its DNA, its destiny scroll. And the veil was torn and the tombs were opened because the power of death was just ripped out of it. Gutted and pulled out violently into Yod Heh Vav, and he held it, and it's like, come on. And he created the ecclesia to be the government that dethroned death, and yet it became the culture that honored death. So all the graves around the church is a sign that it was attracting what it was honoring. Because you will draw near to you what you honor. But there's a company that are going to break up with death. They're going to break up with the story of death. They're going to break up with the mindset of death. And they're going to say, the gates of death will not prevail against us. The gates of death, whatever death looks like, whether it's the death of a dream or a tree or a sky or a moon or a star, that the gates of death in every system will be invaded by the ecclesia, and I will call them out from where they've been. They are called the called out ones in all creation, for they've been called out in all creation. All creation. All creation is groaning, travailing for the revealing of the house of his glory and the body of God, which illuminates with life. So we are going into dimensions which we've never been before, but it has to come through union and wisdom and coming into the government's hand, for we are a government. We are a system of life that creates according to the blueprint of his design. And we have to align with his blueprint, because some of those blueprints are not of this world. Oh, I talked to you about earthly things, but I would have liked to talk to you about heavenly things. Yo! And he used the word cosmos there, cosmic. And it says you are seated to display wonders in the powers in the heavenly sphere. Where is the heavenly sphere? It's the cosmos. In the beginning, he created the heavens, the cosmos, and the earth. He created dimensions through space and time. And there's principalities that are waiting for what? The manifold wisdom. Which means wisdom has to be entangled into you and become part of what your house is made of. That it's a house with seven pillars, just like God's created. That you became a sevenfold spirit being, like Jesus, who had the eyes embedded in the rock. He had the horns embedded in his head. He had the eyes upon him. He's the rock with seven eyes, which means you're a rock with seven eyes, which means you have dimensions beyond prophecy, beyond these things that we've been in. Remember, Paul said prophecy's a baby thing. It's okay, it was the playpen, but he's looking for people to say, I've enjoyed the playpen. I celebrate the playpen. I honor the prophetic. I honor that I played with in part. But now I want the yard. And I want to go into maturity. And I want to go beyond the earth. See, you have to go beyond the earth to go into maturity. I was going to write a sequel to Beyond Human called Beyond Earth. But I thought, no, people can't handle this. But you guys can. It's really cool. It's like, yeah, I'm talking about stuff. Because I, you know, like Nancy, she's waited 40 years. I've waited a long time to talk about some of this stuff. Because you can't go there with so many people because their consciousness is so narrow, so constrained. They're always like, oh, I'm praying for revival. I'm praying for revival in my town. My town's going to start the revival. It's going to be amazing. We'll have nightly meetings. I'm going to get a tent if I might need a tent. I'm going to get a good sound system. It's going to be amazing. Maybe put it on God TV. God, send the end time revival. Send it. We can put it on God TV. It'd be amazing. Amazing. God, send it. God, send it. And that's the truth. But that's the truth of the playpen. It's not a lie. It's a truth. But it's not what Moses was offered. Moses was not offered a nice series of meetings. He was offered the yard being planted into him and then becoming that Merkabah house with cherubim, the cherubic nature, with the lightnings, with the thunderings, and voices, yod hey vave, and the lightnings of God are creating in a moment what would have taken lifetimes. Bending time, redeeming time, creating life, creating glory, creating justice. Becoming a mobile throne of righteousness and justice into creation. Yo! When I was like a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child. But then I saw a more excellent way. The way of one. See, when it talks about love, it's not you being loving, it's you being in the one. Because God is love. It's a position. When I was in the earth, I thought like an earthling. I acted like an earthling. I knew in part and I prophesied in part. And then I turned into the one, love. And I walked in maturity. I began to walk in the order of Melchizedek. See, I was shown that that is a representation of the order of Melchizedek. That dividing line there is the difference between death and life. Oh. You're powerful to think differently, and I'm not demeaning gifts, I'm not. But I'm saying we've got to set our mind on things above. Remember, that is all this realm. But when you've seen it, you can't unsee it. When you've seen this, you can't unsee it. Wisdom beckons this generation. Wisdom's calling you by name to come and be trained in the higher things of God. There are things that are not of this world. Things that have no human language to express. Paul said, I was caught up into an incomprehensible ecstasy where truths too great for human language were imparted to me. So he wasn't even able to speak the higher truths. Jesus said, you can't bear these things because you're earthly minded, but I want to talk about heavenly things. I want to talk about higher dimensional things beyond earth, beyond space, beyond time, into the one, into the limitless. Whew. And like millions of people have downloaded our podcast, 3.5 million people, but I'm telling you how I'm getting it. I'm getting it by this realm. And it's so simple, it's I'm in you. Because unless you come like a child, and it's really like when someone's going, oh God, yes, God, come. Do you know what that is? That's unbelief. Because you are praying rather than stepping in. I've accessed many realms by saying I'm not going to pray for those realms. I'm having it. I'm going in now. I'm stepping in, not in presumption, in the truth. And the truth sets you free. That I'm an innie, not an outie. I'm in you, you're in me. Because truly I say to you that the kingdom of heaven is within you. And it's a hand. So when God created earth, he made it multidimensional because there was a garden in Eden and there was Eden and there was earth. So where was the garden? It said eastward in Eden. There was a garden. And Adam was planted in the middle of the what? The matrix between realms. Or what should I say? Call it the in the gap between the Aleph and the Tav. He was planted in the garden to extend the dimensional realm of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, to cause earth to resonate with the true frequency of its sound. And he was planted in this middle ground, and earth was, where was earth? And what did earth look like? Because it's going to look like it again. Because if we're talking about the restoration of all things, I'm telling you now, earth has got a unique destiny. Earth has a destiny scroll that we're fighting for here as well. Earth is meant to be the gate of heaven. That's why Jerusalem's on the earth, because the government sits at the gate. And the ecclesia are at the gate. And there's something going to happen here where all the cosmos will come. Restoring what was lost. Jacob's ladder was on the earth, and he said, this is the gate of heaven. Earth is heaven's gate. In other words, earth is a door. We're on the door planet. And the enemy always battles at the gate, which is why Satan battled here, because he always fights at the gate. So it says, out of Eden flowed a river, went into there, into the garden, and became four, and watered the earth, and there was much gold there. So you have a realm of gold coming into the earth with the particle resonant frequency of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh's name, and we're planted into it to spread it. But where is that now? Because really, the reason we're made of earth and heaven is because earth is a reflection of us. Because when you think about it now, where is heaven? In your heart. And you've got the four chambers. And out of you flow rivers. You are now a mobile throne. You are a mobile gate for heaven to water any part of creation. For he has put eternity in your heart. So he's put all of time in your heart. This is time, eternity. And he's put space in your heart. And in every culture in the world, this symbol has been drawn. Syrian, Egyptian, Celtic, Christian, even Native Americans drew that symbol. I was taught this symbol by the Lord before I Googled it, because the Lord showed me that that's a picture of us throughout space and time. This is the cosmos. This is time, and this is space, and he's put everything in your heart. The inside you is the matrix of the mansions of God, or in my Father's house are the mansions, and you're the Father's house. Because you can only govern what's in you.
Which is all things. Hello?
Am I losing you guys? So the gate's been opened up in you. It says, lift up your head, O your gates, which means return to the one. And as you return to the one, the King of Glory comes in and moves through the gates and opens them up where they're blocked by trauma and by the experience that you've had in the world. And then a dimensional realm opens from being in the one. In other words, go up into the one, and then his glory and love floods the gates and begins to pop the energetic systems off your DNA, begins to vibrate and open up into different dimensions. This is how you sometimes disappear. You know, I've disappeared three times when I've been in the one, and I didn't realize that I was doing it until I interacted with people. Okay. Time's nearly up for this session, isn't it? Is it 5:30 we go to? We may not get to 5:30, but I just want to shift now, and I've been kind of going around it, but I want to talk about the universe and what's in it. And this is like me stepping out a little bit now, because I want to talk about heavenly things. And I think you're ready to go there, aren't you? Yeah. Because I've been framing up that you're in him, he's in you. And the government, I've said, wisdom needs to go with you. You need to be in him. Don't go into the stars or space without him. I made that mistake. And it took a while to deal with the consequences and I had to do some court cases. There is stuff out there and you'll be ready to go there. If God takes you there, that's fine. But apart from him, you can do nothing. But there are things happening now in the cosmos already. Massive stuff is going on. The cloud of witnesses, the highest being is the pillar, but they are fracturing into different dimensions and parts of creation is already being transformed right now. Just because you don't know what's happening, you don't know what's going on in China or another part of the world, right? Unless you hear the news. I'm telling you the news. That God doesn't just repair it in a certain sequence. He's not like that. Play is messy. And dancing's messy. And art is messy. And there are things already happening that would blow your mind, but he wants to show you heavenly things. And he's saying, come up here and see my glory. Come up here and see what I'm doing in all creation, because I want to talk to you. You can focus on things on the world, but I want to talk to you about heavenly cosmic possibilities. See, the physical, I'm going to quote now from a Jewish book. The physical world in which we live, the objectively observed universe around us, is only part of an inconceivably vast system of worlds. Most of these worlds are spiritual in their essence. So many of them you can't go to unless you know how to move in the spirit. So how many worlds are in this room? There's actually other worlds in this room, you know, and Ian Clean teaches on this, that when the Lord Jesus opened the man's eyes, he saw giants walking. So he went into a different plane that's interfacing with a different structure of beings and government, but all of them are waiting for the sons to be there. And there's a different orders of worlds known from our known worlds, which does not necessarily mean that they exist somewhere else, but means rather they exist in different dimensions of being. Did you hear that? You access them through different dimensions of being, not by thinking of locality. I think I should stop. It's a long day and it's hot, isn't it? Come on. What is more, the various worlds interpenetrate and interact in such a way that they can be considered counterparts of one another, each reflecting or projecting itself on the one above or below. And it's a dynamic, infinite, complex exchange of influence back and forth through domains and specific worlds through the reality that we experience every day. In other words, I am funneling through layers of creation and I'm creating either energetic beings of darkness or energetic beings of light. And I'm impacting heaven. You know, one of the things I find quite interesting is that our engagement with this change in heaven. That's why some people go, they see roller coasters and stuff. They think, wow, heaven's got roller coasters. No, you created that realm through your engagement because God made space for you. I don't know if the Lord's done this for you, Nancy, but I was in one layer of heaven and the Lord showed me the edge. Oh, yeah. And it was like going boom, 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 and it was forming like to the increase of his government. And I realized it was a dynamic thing. I remember one time I was praying with a group of people. We went through a wall into one of the it looked like a business place in heaven. And the saints that were in there, I heard their thoughts as I walked through and they went, oh yeah, they come here now. Do you know it's changing everything? The interaction with the saints, them coming here, us going there, the living creatures, the acceleration we're going through right now. All the books we've written beyond human, it'll be a baby book within a few years because there is such a realm of consciousness being released right now that it's called the expanded momentum of love. So this galaxy and the stars are so beautiful. And the earth I grew up, the church I grew up with was all about earth, 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 revival, revival, revival. When all the stars are crying with the glory of God and they're saying, come up here and see. And an open heaven can also be when there's no cloud stopping you seeing the stars. So a Jew, an open heaven is just a really cool starry night as well. It can be a literal spiritual open heaven. I'm not saying that because there's a spiritual natural version. But if we're going on holiday later in the year and we're going to a place where they don't have lights, so you can have starry nights. So we're going glamping, glamorous camping. And I can't wait to look at the cosmos and engage the cosmos and engage the frequency that every star has a voice, a song, a sound, an energy and vibration. It's all connected because it's all in me and I'm in them. And it's all part of my Father's house. And it's all part of my dance and my song. And I'm not merely a human being. I died in Christ. The human version of me was co-crucified, co-buried. And I've been raised into newness of life. And wherever he is, I am now. And he raised me above it all. And now I'm heavenly minded. Now I'm cosmically minded. Now I'm not of the earth. And I don't think like the earth, and I don't look at the traditions and ways of this age. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this age, because I'm not even from this time zone. And no one can give me a prophecy about 2020, because I'm not from 2020. I don't live in 2020. In him I live, in him I move, and I'm co-create realities. And plus, I'm not going to get email when I'm in Andromeda. So I don't need to subscribe to anything. Okay, I'm walking a thin line. But I'm hooked up into the Lord. I'm hooked up into Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. I'm hooked up into his thoughts. You know the thoughts I think towards you. See, if you need the prophetic to activate you, you're living apart from his thoughts. And it's a means of grace for you because you've not become one mind. So the cosmos is beautiful, and it's not just this big black thing that everybody thought. It's awesome. There is nebulas and massive planets, massive. It's full of nebulas and giant gas. I can't talk. And it's all made by Jesus. See, you've got to get rid of the genetic trigger in you that's afraid of it. Because if you see it's the house of his glory in him, you're not going to be afraid of going anywhere in him. See, the reason you're afraid of it is because of a genetic memory of your ancestors that's trying to overrule and choke you from being your divine nature. A lot of stuff you're dealing with isn't yours. It's actually trauma in your DNA that you're carrying in your body, which is why he wants to pour out his spirit on flesh to break the energetic bonds that keep you tethered to a lower system, which is called pouring out the spirit, which is just basically an infusion of energy to break the trauma off the DNA and recalibrate it back to the seed line of Christ, which is taking off the false covering and putting on Christ, which is why the spirit comes into your body to break the trauma so you're not afraid of fire. You're not afraid of the stars or what's out there. Oh. So for by him, all things were created, all things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. That means every part of it was created for him and through him and is sustained by the... And you are the manifestation of Aleph's blood. This is where Enoch went. I'm teaching you Enochian theology here. I'm teaching you stuff I've learned from walking with Enoch and breaking through these realms and thinking, wow, where did you go? What did you do? That's why I started to question about lifespan because of this immortal being. That's why I started to question how big can your mind get, because he understood all the future acts of mankind fully. Not in part, fully. And he's multidimensional being and he clothes himself in humility and looks like this beautiful man. I'm glad he doesn't appear as he really is, otherwise the Milky Way would melt. People often ask me, what do the saints look like? And I always answer, they look like the level you can handle. So this stuff out there, this is in the Eagle Nebula, it's called the Mystic Mountain. There's stuff out there that is so beautiful. This is 7,000 light years away. And, there's a place called the Eagle Nebula and Mystic Mountain. And it's not that far. So the cosmos is so close. It's in you and it's around you. See, distance and delay is just a concept. The first time I ever went to space, it was like maybe, I don't know, 12, 14 years ago. I was praying with some friends. We were soaking, just enjoying God. And a beam of light came on my head, and I shot up for 6 seconds, and I stood on this like moon looking at a blue planet with rings and a bright red nebula with all of these angelic sounds and frequencies like wind chimes and these beings worshipping Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And I looked at Jesus standing next to me, and he just went. And I knew that he wanted to show me just a tiny, tiny glimpse. And it kind of looked like this. This is the closest thing I found to it. But imagine the planet was really close. And I'm literally, and I didn't imagine it. 1 minute I'm praying, not even thinking about space. I'm thinking about soaking, enjoying my friends, being in his presence, worship. And in a beam of light, in a twinkling of an eye, I am now standing on a moon with Jesus, the Lord Jesus himself, looking at this with energy beings that I didn't even know what they were, moving through vapors of gas, releasing light and colors, worshiping the Lord. And Jesus just nodded and said, that's what I want to show you. Because it's your inheritance. It's your inheritance. It's your inheritance. See, in the old Adam, it says the heavens belong to God, but the earth he gave to the sons of man. But in the new Adam, in the second creation, in the new creation, it says we are co-heirs with Christ, and all that is his now ours. The question is, are you waiting for death to qualify you to access those dimensions? What are you waiting for, to be pushing up daisies when you're buried 6 feet under? Because death is your savior, and death's going to take you to space, and death's going to show you angels, and you're waiting for death to come riding on a horse with a sickle. Or do you believe that I have been co-crucified together with Christ, and now I am enjoying a new existence? Now I am a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. If you get this in your head, you're innocent, because one of the triggers you've got is a guilt conscience, which is another energetic system called the flesh. It says put it off because you have a new heart, a new mind, a new being. And you are innocent. See, sin consciousness pulls you out of immortality. There is no record against you in any of those dimensions. He's removed it. Oh. So I was literally in Psalm 148. Those of you who like verses, it says, praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, all you stars of light. So I was in the stars of light where they were praising Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. See, God doesn't want us to have earthly realm prayer. God said to Francis Metcalf, I am changing the earthly prayer in your generation, and I am taking you up into celestial realms. And he took Francis Metcalf, and listen, Francis Metcalf, they had a purple cloud in the room with voices and angels appearing in clothes, and Jesus still said that was earthly prayer. That's earthly prayer. And he said, I'm going to take you into celestial realms. And she thought, am I going to die? God's saying, you're dying. This is the end for you. And then one day she was praying and worshiping, and God took her up, and she saw the cosmos below her just like a sea full of stars and galaxies. And Jesus turned to her and said, all of my inheritance is yours. All of the universe is yours. And she saw that we were going to dispossess powers in heavenly realms. And that was going to be prayer, was functioning in him, moving into creation, realigning stars, realigning galaxies. And this stuff's happening, guys. And you might think, oh, but I care about my community. That's dualistic limitation thinking, because you can still feed the poor and do missions and do all this stuff. I'm not saying that stops, but why should it limit your conscious awareness of where you are in the night watch or when you pray? Because I'm telling you now, the reason it says in a twinkling of an eye is because most of my ascensions, I've done massive stuff, but it's been in a twinkling of an eye. Someone, I once was with some Jews, and I said, I want to be like Enoch. And they tapped me on the back and said, I tried that, but I've got a family. I haven't got time. And he walked away, and I felt so sorry for him, because in the time that he's had a cup of tea, I've done some stuff. In the time he's gone to the toilet, time is relative to you. Einstein. And I've had moments where I've gone into the panoramic expanded states, and then God's caused me to create something with him. And one time I created something with him, and I knew it was going to be in the news that week, that NASA would say a star is born. And even as I had the experience, and it was all came through me shining, I was worshiping for 2 hours, and a door appeared in the heavens, because I was in heaven. And I thought, oh, that must be a door through time. I'm going to see what he will soon do. So I went through the door with Jesus, and instead of being in heaven, I was actually in the cosmos, in space. Enoch's there. Jesus is there. The fear of the Lord hits me. I've been in the spirit for 2 hours at this point in natural time. I'm caught up in the spirit. I'm not aware of where my body is. And Enoch's there. Jesus is there. We're in space. And I'm like, my thoughts were, I don't understand. And Jesus looked at me so full of love, and he said, I want you to shine. And I said, Lord, in my heart, I don't want to outshine you. And I actually got embarrassed. How you can blush in space. But in my spirit body, I actually felt my face get hot. And I was blushing like I don't want. And I really meant it. And Enoch's there, it's like really embarrassing. I'm in space and God, Jesus in shine. And I was in the ascension worship time in Cardiff, but I'm in the stars. And he said, it's okay. You're not going to outshine me. I was like, oh, phew, okay, great. He thought it was funny anyway. So what I did was I began to do what I do sometimes in the spirit. I began to power up the life within me and go into an ecstasy. So what I did was I was in the spirit, in space, and then I went into an ecstasy, okay? Because remember, there are layers of being in the spirit. So I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, then I was taken in the spirit, then I went through a door, then the spirit fell on me and I was in the spirit. Revelations, right? So the same thing happens to me. I go in the spirit. Many of you don't have those encounters because you don't do the first layer, which is I'm in you. If you don't honor that, you won't get that. Because in him are hidden all riches. How you treat the small presence is how you'll treat the cosmos. Those who are faithful with little will be given much. And I glowed and glowed and glowed, and I got caught up in the ecstasy to the point that I pretty much forgot about Enoch being there. I forgot about Jesus. I felt like so alive. And then suddenly I felt someone grab me and pull me really quickly back. And Enoch and Jesus are there. And where I had been, a star was being birthed. It started a cataclysmic change in the gas to birth a star. A star was being born. And I knew that 3 days later, it would say in the newspaper, NASA sees a star being born. I knew that in the encounter. And I knew to take me there for the light to travel, he'd taken me like 7,000 years backwards. Which apparently some Christians don't think the universe existed that long ago, but there we go. That's another thing you see through time. We've been around a much longer than we think. I mean a lot longer. And Adam. And them. So, I'm giving you like real personal stuff. The bit that came afterwards, I didn't want to tell anyone for a while. But when I birthed a star, I didn't realize I birthed a center of government, because a star is a government for a solar system, and the planets dance around the star. Because it's a throne. And that's why you've got to come out from being under the sun. Because you don't want to be under the power of the sun. You want to be under the power of Yod Heh Vav Heh. And the bit that I don't share with people is that the Lord took me on a creation ecstasy that probably lasted for billions of years, I don't know, for that system. Where I co-created the rest of the system. And I went right down into one of these planets, and it was like the Amazon, but everything, all of it, all of the leaves were blue. And I was shocked and I was frightened. Don't think this was like a casual thing for me. I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? I was actually frightened by it. I wasn't comfortable, but I feel so honored by it because actually the future belongs to the courageous. The future belongs to the courageous. And then I came out of it, and 3 days later, I've got it on my computer. There's this amazing photograph of a plasma shot. As they said, gas exploded and formed a star. And NASA observes a star being born. But check this out. This is the amazing thing. It said, we do not understand what's wrong with the Milky Way. There's a problem with it. And it said this, 90% of the stars have not been born. They said all the maths adds up, all the gas adds up, but for some reason they haven't been ignited. So what's it saying? We've only got 10%. What does that mean? The government. It means the government is missing. It's the same as Abraham. If I could just get the 10%, I could do the 90%. Now I want you to imagine if you opened the curtains on a winter's night, looked at the stars, and it was 90% more stars than it is right now. Because I'm telling you, that's the blueprint for the Milky Way. And there are people that says, if you arise, you'll be like stars in the heavens. For I'll have sons that, Abraham, you'll have sons that are of the earth, that are of the sands, but you'll have those that are of the stars, and they will be celestial, and they will be glorious. And there's an inheritance in the stars. I don't know how to govern that star system. I gave it over to angels. I asked the Lord to sit an angel in it. In Revelation, I think it says, an angel comes out of the sun. Angels can sit in star systems until we know how to fully engage. Remember, they're called powers. Stars are called powers. And that's why magicians have stars on them. Starbucks has stars on them. Where do they get the favor from for Starbucks? Starbucks. It's in the name. The energy, the bucks, the finances, the trading platforms been formed in the stars, and that's why it's on the mermaid, which is a demonic entity that funnels favor for worship. When people say they love it, she feasts on the human heart. Because we release energy into that realm and they live off it. But they can release favor in its place. Starbucks. Okay, fine. See, you guys don't know this because you've been earthly. Don't look at me like I'm talking nonsense until you've been in the heavens and you see the trading platforms and you see how does it all work? How does the financial system work? Because see, if you want to change the financial system on earth, you don't change it on the earth. You crash the system in the heavens, and God raises up his Daniels, so it's all choreographed perfectly. But there are systems in the stars that create the banking system. That's why Europe's got the stars on it. That's why America's got the stars on it. That's why people have stars on their clothes, stars on their crowns, because it's a realm of government in another dimension that frames up this reality. And it's called heavenly places. Or thrones that you're meant to occupy to create realities. So as goes the heaven, so goes the earth. Loose on earth what has already been loosed in heaven. So you change the earth by framing up the heavens. God, the sons of God respond to God. The heavens respond to the sons. And the earth responds to heaven. Yippee! 15 minutes, we're nearly done. You guys have been great because I'm hitting you. Are you getting something off it? Because I'm unpacking like 10, 15 years of walking with God, because I am not just going to carry on, I know you're not, with the narrative that makes you popular or gets you mailing list or whatever, because you may judge me on how many Facebook likes I've got, but I'm looking at how much of the cosmos, how much of creation is beginning to respond, how much am I being mentored by heaven, because earth will pass away, Facebook will pass away, websites will pass away. That's not the kingdom. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy, and all of creation responding and resonating with a song and a sound and a frequency and an energy that changes the earth, and earth changes the heavens. 15 minutes left. So there is stuff, man. There is stuff. And I don't understand this, but I'm going to tell you another mystery, because I'm an administrator of the mysteries, like Paul. It says to us it's been given to know the mysteries of God. And Paul said, I'm a preacher of the mysteries. I'm a preacher of the mysteries. I'm telling you mysteries. If it gives you more questions than answers, that's good, because revelation is what you know. Mystery is where you're expanding. I'm expanding you. I'm forcing you to ask new questions that you didn't have before, which means you are becoming a higher consciousness being. The questions have changed. That's how Jesus knew the consciousness level of those around him, by the questions they were asking, because the questions should be new questions. How do we conquer death? How do we become immortal? How do we open up gates and doors and become what we're meant to be? How do we become a house of angels, let alone encountering them? So I believe this is somehow, and I don't know why, but I believe the Lord showed me that this particular image, the Eye of God, as it's called, is connected to the order of Melchizedek. Might have something to do with the fact it's an eye. I don't know. Just throwing that out there. It could be. Just occurred to me while I was looking at it. I'm serious now. I'm being serious. Listen, in the last days, there'll be signs in the heavens. If you are not shifting into the heavens, you can't do them. Because you're the one that does them, right? So there's signs in the heavens and the earth. Which means, why are we not teaching about doing signs in the heavens? Because that's a big place. It's pretty big, right? I mean, the amount of galaxies. When I wrote Beyond Human, they thought there was like 200 billion galaxies. Since I wrote Beyond Human a few years ago, 3 years ago, they've discovered now that there are so far 2 trillion. Each one with billions of planets that could sustain human life. There could be hundreds of billions of planets that have a similar atmosphere to Earth with water on it, just in the Milky Way alone. And then we're not talking about different dimensions or different beings that can exist on different habitats. So NASA goes to the Mars and says there's no life here. Really? Well, step through and become someone who has an eye or 7 eyes. And then look and see what's there. And then look through the timeline to see what is there, past, present, and future. The first time the Lord took me to Mars, I couldn't land through it because I was going through the membrane of its scroll, which was like cells on a film showing the different eras of its creation. Past, present, and future. And this membrane was going back and forth like this. And I was seeing all these events. And then I just pushed through it. Until I managed to sit on that Grand Canyon. There's a huge canyon on Mars. And I sat on a rock in my spirit body, and I remember the exact moment where I managed to do it. And I sat there and I was like, Mars. Mars. Earth. Mars. We're nearly done. There's a problem with the cosmos. 2 trillion galaxies, but when we look at it scientifically, it's not the shape it should be. It's almost flat in terms of maths. So these are all the galaxies, and it's flat, but the maths for it is that it should be like that, like Earth, with mountains and valleys. That's Einstein's maths for the cosmos. So why is it flat? Why is the 2 trillion that we're seeing flat? It's because we're seeing a tiny slice of something bigger. And it only looks flat because we're not seeing the valleys, because this looks flat in this room. So we're seeing something. 2 trillion galaxies is a slice of a bigger thing called the Beta Sheet. I love this stuff. I love this stuff. You guys are like looking at me like I'm crazy. 200 billion stars in each galaxy, 2 trillion galaxies is a slice of this. What are you going to do about it? Oh, yawn. Nearly there. So the amazing thing is, you know, in that are 200 billion stars and all this stuff in each galaxy. If you look at, we can't see a really starry night. If you go into space and look at the stars, it's almost white with stars. Because the amount of stars in the galaxy, they used to think that if you put a pin in front of your face in the sky, you would hide 10,000 galaxies. That was when they thought there was only 200 billion galaxies. So in the last few years, they've had to change that. A pinhead, imagine a pinhead in your hand. You lift it up, you just hit 100 billion galaxies. Each star is a throne or a heavenly place. See, and some people even think that when the Big Bang happened, this is a true scientific theory, they think some of it, when it expanded so fast, we have hardly got any numbers to describe how fast it went. So imagine this concentrated thing of God's blood going boom, and it traveled so fast that in a fraction of time, it created realm upon realm. Some physicists believe it is still traveling at that speed, and that we're in a bubble of what they call down slow down space. Okay, fine. We're nearly done. So, he counts the stars and knows each of them by name. He alone spreads out the heavens. He made the Bear, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. He does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without number. He owns the stars. And the number of habitable stars and moons, looking at this picture, don't get offended, it could be tens of billions in our galaxy and moons, and we don't even know. Brian Cox said recently on a podcast, I'm sure there are other civilizations out there in the universe. I just can't believe this hasn't happened in other places. He believes it may be one civilization per galaxy like ours. And he's the most respected physicist in our time, in our country. If you think about that, we know there's 2 trillion. There could be one civilization like ours in each universe, in galaxy, 2 trillion. 2 trillion that could be like that in my father's house. And that's not all. It could be a multi-universe model where it says he created heavens. Now, I personally believe there are 2 because I've seen 2. And I know lots of others do. Ian Clayton thinks that the sons of God who came and shouted for joy came through the bubble from the other universe. So they're the sons that shouted for joy at the beginning. And he even believes that the wise men came from there. He doesn't believe that they literally came from the east. He believes they came from the universe that's next to ours, a first creation, a second creation forming a third creation. Which is kainos, a new creation. Now, personally, I believe that this is a better model to look at than the one I showed you. Because that looks like wisdom's dance. That looks like wisdom's song. That looks like fun. That looks like my father. But there is an anomaly in the Big Bang. There's a huge hole in space, which is 1 billion light years across. And they believe that it means that it could be there's another universe wrestled up, nestling up against ours. I personally believe there is, because one time I was in heaven and the Lord took me into a mountain and he opened up this cave, and in there was one universe and our universe next to it. Both of them had a book, and I saw what was written on the top of our book in this parabolic experience, and it said, and they all lived happily ever after. So I believe there's one before us. And I think you can argue for that, because it says he created the heavens and the earth. And then in Genesis, it says he created the earth and the heavens. That's the two creation theory. I believe there's some validity to that. I do. Some people believe that when God overshadowed the earth pre-existed. It was without form and void. That it exists and it's actually more to the earth than we realize. Okay, we're nearly there. So open up your gates, open up your doors, be lifted up. We are full of dimensions. Each one of these, if you think, is a dimensional access to a plane of existence that's already inside of you. You are limitless. The person who's united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. For in him we live and move and have our being. Your mind is the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is cosmic, expansive, beyond your genetics, beyond all frame of existence that you know of. There are dimensions he wants to show you where there's no human language for it. There are dimensions he wants to show you that no eye has seen, and no ear has heard. Whew. And there are things so beautiful, and this is where Enoch went, and I'll end on this because Enoch is a pattern of it. I believe Enoch is the seventh, and Enoch represents where we're going. And this is what Enoch says. I saw the portals of heaven open and witnessed the stars of heaven come forth, each according to their number and their names, their courses and positions, their times and their months. All this was shown to me by the angel Uriel. He showed all things to me, and I wrote them down for me. It says this, Enoch asked, and in chapter 43 it says, I wish to know everything. Have you read the Ethiopic Book of Enoch? Enoch keeps asking, what's this? And they laugh at him, Michael, Uriel. They're going like, why do you want to know? Why do you want to know? And he finds the tree of life, and he's at the tree of life. And he said, I love the fragrance of this tree. And the angels turn to him, there'll be a company of people who will have the fragrance in their bones. And he had such hunger for the realm of the spirit. But you know, scripture says what God thought of it. It says this, by faith Enoch was taken. God could take him in his body because his spirit had already gone by faith. And your body will follow your spirit. That's how I think teleportation works. Because when I've had those kind of experiences, it's when my heart has gone out, my spirit has gone out, and then my spirit's pulled me. So your heart pulls your spirit, and your spirit pulls your body. So Enoch's heart was in heaven, so he started to have ecstasies, and then his body got pulled. And he shifted dimensions. And I believe that he is a model of the Kainos generation, that we are going to go to expanded states, for the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he has. His purpose is this, so through the ecclesia, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities, and powers in the heavenly spheres. Now we are children of God, but this is only the beginning. 1 John 3. Who knows where we'll end up? I'm going to end with this story. You guys have been great. Hour and a half of me hitting you. I was preaching in Horsham, and it was a very strong presence, and I could hardly talk. I was concentrating to get the words out, and suddenly the Lord pulled me out of my spirit, but I carried on preaching. So nobody in the room knew this was happening. So only a small part of me was preaching. The lowest part of me was there, and it was in the distance. I got taken into the cosmos. And I saw this being that looked so beautiful that I went into a rapture and shock. I couldn't understand what I was looking at. All I can describe is it looked like living particles of fire dance, light, oranges and red, dancing in the stars. And I felt the presence of it, and that all the cosmos was in wonder of it. And then the Lord spoke to me audibly, and he said, do you know what this is? So I'm having this expanded state out of my body whilst my body's still teaching. And it went out as a podcast to teach, and I was just still teaching. But the real me, the full me, was here. And I'm in ecstasy. I couldn't even hardly look at it, because I have to say this. In all of my heavenly experiences, I had never, ever seen anything that was like this. Never. It was so glorious, I could hardly breathe or speak. And the Lord said, do you know what this is? And I said, no, Lord. And he said, this is the beauty of the human spirit. And he said, the human spirit has a limitless capacity to grow. Amen.